Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and you are listening to the Down and Dirty Podcast, aka the Double D's of Dating. This is a podcast for navigating the ins and outs of modern midlife dating. Here, we will discuss the challenges that men and women face in today's dating world. Like many industries, this one is forever changing, and I believe this platform will help those who need or want it. Today, it is the best time to take control of your desired outcome. Whether it is a marriage, significant other, life partner, or just to gain the confidence in dating once again. Every other week, we will dive in and talk about different viewpoints that seem to be challenges in today's dating arena. So let's get into today's episode. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Down and Dirty Podcast. As always, I am your host, Celeste Moore. And real quick, I want to say a big thank you to everybody who is continuing to tune in and listen to these episodes, because I truly hope that you're able to bring what you've learned today back into your relationships. Please don't forget to leave a review and give the show a 5-star rating, because that just really helps the show get more recognized more, and in turn, it helps everybody. But before I jump into today's episode, I want to introduce my guest today. I'm so excited to introduce you to Lee Michael Pronko. He is a single dad who has a few businesses in the dating industry. He is a CEO of Heartstrings Dating. He is the founder and dating coach of Date With Us HQ and is a fellow podcaster on the show Heartstrings Podcast. And I know he has a few other things in the works, as always. But welcome, Lee Michael. I want to thank you for being on today's show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. You know I'm going to rate the show a 6+ rating.
Yes. All right. I did something right.
Yeah, 100%.
Amazing. So I want to get to know a little bit about your backstory. I would love to know more about why you got into the dating industry and how.
Yeah, it's a great question. I feel like if you have an hour, we can get into it, but I'll condense it. The show's purpose, you know? Yeah, no. I mean, you said it out the gate that I'm a single dad, and I think a couple of years ago, when I first became a single dad, I realized how difficult it was to date with current dating apps. I just found that I couldn't really get a sense of someone's vibe, right? And I talk about the same message all the time, but I think that current dating profiles really provide this low resolution view of who someone is. It's very difficult to tell your story, especially there's, you know, 300 million daters dating now. And I felt like as a single dad, I just didn't want to waste my time, you know, because I value my time, especially with my son and working with all these entrepreneurial things. I wanted to know, like, how can I get to in-person the fastest way possible? And for me, video is the answer. So I basically undertook this last 2-year journey to build a dating app, a video-only dating app, and model some of the stuff we see on like TikTok and Instagram, right? We use those platforms all the time. 90% of content online is consumed via video. Why aren't we doing that in dating? I just think it would make it much more effective. So that was kind of the catalyst to springboard me to where I am today. And it's transformed a lot into the purpose, which is I want to help people facilitate better connections and showcase who they are. And part of that is building confidence, right? In video, when you put yourself on video, when you make content as a content creator, you build confidence in communicating. And that will translate into every other aspect of your life, whether it's dating, work, your relationship. So for me, it's kind of morphed from not only creating a better resolution view into who we are and helping people tell their story differently, but also empowering them to communicate better and build more confidence.
Yeah, I love that. What has been some of the feedback from daters? Do they seem to have a higher rate of successful dating, or what's kind of been some of the feedback from this?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of ways to answer that question. The first one is we haven't been alive for that long to be able to give you metrics around what are the success rates, but I can tell you what the feedback is and I can tell you what I see or the behaviors, not just from their communication. I think number one, to sell people on video in a dating app context is much more difficult. And there's a couple of reasons for that. People are used to the lazy model of throwing in a couple of shitty photos in their dating app profile on a Friday night when they've had a glass of wine or get their friends to swipe for them and maybe not be as intentional. That's fine. That's a way to do it, right? No judgment people that do that. But I think we're not used to putting in a little bit more effort sometimes around dating, and video really makes you go the extra distance because you got to be intentional about, hey, here's the content I'm going to make, and then you've got to execute on that content. I mean, you could also be spontaneous, right? Like, for example, if you're out with your friends at a concert, I don't know, throw up a video of that. Or if you play music, throw up a video of yourself making music. Like, there's lots of ways to approach it, but I think that's been part of the challenge, is socializing video in a dating app context. And we can see other dating apps are starting to do that now by adding video capabilities. But for me, it's a full end-to-end all video, right? So it's just like TikTok. It's a full screen bleed. You upload videos 15 seconds long, and people need support in doing that. And what I've discovered is people need support, not just in creating videos, but in showing up to be able to create the video from an image perspective, their personal brand, the content they want to showcase. And so we basically developed an entire system to support that as well from a dating coaching perspective, right? And that's where Date With Us comes in. But the long game and the message is still the same, that I do believe fundamentally, if you do use video and put yourself out there and you're more intentional and you're able to view daters putting in videos in their dating profile, you're going to end up with better results in the future in terms of connecting, because it mirrors to closest in real life, just how we are, right? When you meet someone on an event, right? You see them, then you hear them, then you approach them, you want to learn a little bit more, and then you go from there. So,
right. I mean, essentially, you're not just only taking a 2D picture, you're actually, you know, someone is coming to life and you're able to see their mannerisms for a second, see how they project themselves. I think there's so much in that, like that 15 seconds that you can really tell about somebody, which is huge, right? I mean, oh, I see him playing guitar. Oh, well, he didn't look so great in that like one picture that is, I don't know, his bio picture. But him playing the guitar was like, oh, yeah, I think I might be able to go on a date with him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, in guitar, if you play guitar, I'm sure most women, if you're a man, would be into you because of that single reason. I mean, guitar speaks to the heart, you know, speaks to the soul. So, yeah, and I think part of it too is, I'm not saying everybody's making creator content quality videos, and you don't have to. I think that's the problem, is a lot of people get hung up on like, how do I do it? What do I do? It's like, yes, we can always refine and make good quality videos, just like photos, right? Like, of course, we want to get the best quality photos as we can in a dating profile. But I actually think it's about telling a consistent story. So, for example, sometimes I see people's profiles with a lot of travel photos, right? And they'll have a whole profile of just travel. And it may not showcase them up in personal, like a headshot, like you see in a LinkedIn or whatever. But what it does is it tells the story that they're traveling all the time. They're adventurous. They love life. Like, they like to have fun. And that, I think, is more compelling than having perhaps like one good headshot and then the rest of your photos are just, you look maybe 20 in one of them, maybe you took one 5 years ago. There's no consistent personal brand. And I think having a consistent personal brand is actually going to stand out more. And I'll give you one example. This is a great experiment that my co-host for the podcast, Ailish, and I did. She built a profile. She had this collection of doorbell photos of her ringing the doorbell over a series of like a couple months. And so it was just her in different outfits going to the doorbell of her friend's house, and it would capture her every time she rang the doorbell. So she'd have like the dog in one of them. She'd like was dropping something in the other one. Like, I don't remember all of them, but like it was really fucking cool. And I was like, yo, we're making a full Hinge profile based on this. And like, the amount of likes and comments on that whole profile was amazing, because it demonstrated, like, people are like, holy shit, I've never seen a profile that's like this cool before. And it's just all these doorbell photos. And like, that's an example for me that demonstrates the power of like telling a story. And the story is, in her case, the story is like, hey, she has a time-based series of photographs all taken the same way. And it kind of tells a unique story of like, here's how she dresses on different days. You can see a bit of her dog, but it's all framed in that one way. So for me, I think that actually is a much more effective approach than, you know, you get one photo and you update it and you have three old photos. It's better to keep it minimal and less and more, you know, for me. So
no, I agree. I mean, I think the biggest issue for, let's just say me, I'm checking out profiles, and like you said, there could be 10 years, 20 years. A guy like posted a picture of him in college and he's like in his 50s. I'm like, why would you do that? I get like, maybe you're proud of that moment, but I don't need, that's how I'm going to see you like moving forward. So the whole age thing, the whole like the line of the height, and I'm sure women do the weight, you know, there's all of these things, but it's like at the end of the day, I'm going to meet you hopefully, or we're going to meet and someone's going to like call you out. And then that's just like the worst way to start a relationship, if you will, if it goes and moves past that. It's like, okay, well, why would you lie about that? Just to like get me on a date, and you're wasting people's
You already start at this like place where you're kind of not making stuff up, but maybe you're not revealing the truth in a way that's accurately reflective of where you are now, right? And maybe they just don't realize that. And I think part of it too is the coaching piece, where helping people realize like, well, who do you want to attract? It's not just a matter of telling your story. That's one level, right? It's like, well, who are you trying to attract into your life? Because the way that you frame your story is going to present itself and appeal to certain people that otherwise may or may not be interested. So you want to tap into like, what is the type of woman? And that takes a lot of work, or man, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of work to frame that too. So I think there's multiple levels in approaching how you craft a good dating profile to be effective. And I think a lot of people are just crapshooting, like they have no clue, right? And partly because of the algorithm too, it probably doesn't favor them, especially if they're not getting swiped on, right? Their ELO rating is going to go down, and you know, they're not getting on the standout or whatever. And it's just, I don't know. I think at the end of the day, if they did kind of a two-part thing where they're like, okay, how do I best authentically showcase who I am? And that may involve some work, right? Working with a dating coach to get new photos, get new videos, build intentional prompts that speak to what I'm looking for, and think about what is the person I want to attract. And then try that as a science experiment for like a month and see, are you getting results? If not, well, time to change it. How many people do you with that haven't been on dates like for years, or haven't even had matches on dating apps? And I feel bad for them. I'm like, guys, like, this is why we're here, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So on a little bit more of a personal note, what and how has it been for you dating as a single dad?
I knew we were going to get into this one.
We're not skipping this.
My favorite one. Oh, man. I mean, I talk a bit about this on the podcast, and that's kind of why part of why I started this journey too was to reflect on my own experiences as a single dad dating and share those insights to see if, hey, maybe they help other people on their dating journey. But for me, I mean, it's already hard because it's not hard. Let me rephrase that. It's challenging to discover lifestyle alignment. I think that's like, that's a key one for like, that's my like usual assessment. Actually, my triage is always like, are they like comedic and fun? Do we have like a fun comedic banter? That's like the first level. Then the second level would be, do they live a healthy and active lifestyle? And that can be different for everybody. It doesn't need to fit into my frame, but that's like a key component of like, do they live that daily? And then the third would be respecting boundaries and lifestyle alignment. So like understanding like, there's nothing personal here. I'm just chasing freedom. And that takes a lot of work and time and energy. And I can dedicate priorities and make priorities, but that requires trust and experience with that person. So you have to be able to sit it out and see it through to get to the like good end result of like more time for you. So usually people don't make it past, I don't know, it's a little bit. I stopped dating like honestly 5 months ago, 6 months ago, because I just felt like it was a distraction from the journey.
Yeah.
So it's already difficult. And I'm just like, you know what? Part of me doesn't want to be on dating apps anyway, because I have my own and I'm not dating on my own dating app, but it's just that it's very difficult, you know? And it's not difficult perhaps to go on dates and meet people. And I love meeting people and I love talking with people. But again, like I'm looking for a queen. I don't want to just date and get a dopamine hit, period. So right. I'm happy to be patient because I know where I'm at now. So dating is tough. And you know, for me, it's just, I'm just patient now. Whereas previously, perhaps it was in a different season. And the season I'm in now is just, I'm content, you know? Okay. If this doesn't work for you, okay.
Right.
Right.
I mean, that's a good place to be though, right? Because I think from what I'm hearing you say is that you know exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And like you tried for a little bit, it's going to happen, right? But you've got other priorities. So, I mean, just for you knowing exactly what it is that you want is huge. Yeah. Because a lot of people don't know. They're on the apps, right? And they're not quite clear. And you got to get really fucking crystal clear. And I mean, and there's certain areas where I'm talking about clarity, right? Like the values, beliefs, alignment, you know, life goals, stuff like that. Because, you know, you can't be dating someone when those kind of components are completely off kilter. So...
yeah. And I mean, it takes experience too to learn, I guess, and sort that out. And I think some of the challenge I see with a lot of men too, though, is when they don't have clarity, they can miss opportunities that would actually be beneficial for them to get date experience. So that's one thing. I think you do need to go on dates and meet different types of people to help you refine. But where I'm at now is I've already done that enough times so that I have a very disciplined and like set framework of for my mindset, but that's because I've gone through all those experiences that I now can be quite rigid on. Like, I'm very adaptable, but I know exactly what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to settle anymore. Whereas previously, I think it's important to maybe sometimes you need to change your mindset and loosen up some of the like frame that you're operating under just to be able to meet some people and get some experience, especially if you don't have a lot of experience. And it's, again, not a judgment. It's just that there's a mindset shift. And I'll give you an example for some men that I've coached, right? Like, their mindset may be that they want a certain type of woman that looks a certain way, right? You know, the blue-eyed, green-eyed, blonde-haired woman, right? And it's like, that was their thing. And I'm like, that's cool. But guess what? Like, if you haven't been on a date in X amount of months or years, we need to start from where you're at. And starting from where you're at means it's okay to go on dates with people that aren't that archetype for a couple of reasons. One, you're going to learn more about yourself. Two, you're going to gain some experience talking about people and going on dates. And three, you have no idea how it could work out. Maybe the archetype you had in your mind of what you wanted is not at all what works for you. So stop starting from like a material perception-based perspective and maybe start from like first, like, hey, my one goal is to go on like a fun date. Okay, cool. I don't even know what that person's going to look like next. You know, then like get to the stage where perhaps I'm at. I'm like, I know exactly what I like. And within 5 minutes or less of talking to someone, I can pretty much basically be like, all right, like, is this going to advance to in person or is it not? You know?
Yeah. So no, I love that. And what would you say your three deal breakers are? Because everybody has like a three? List, but they're okay. So let me preface. Everybody
kidding.
Has like, say, 10, but there's three that are absolute no way. If this quality or if this is something that you have, I will definitely not date you.
Yeah, I think I'm not going to do them in any order here, but I think there's kind of two that immediately stand out. One is kind of like a complainer victim mentality. I think that's like, you know, I understand everybody has challenges and I have my own set of challenges every day. And so I think part of it is recognizing that you need to take responsibility. So if you're always complaining about your life or you don't like it or you're not happy, you can always choose to change it. So if you hate your job, like, I don't want to hear about it 100 times, you know, like, happy to support through tough moments. But if you're hungry about something else and passionate about something else, just change your life then. Like, you can do it. And happy to support throughout that, right? So I think that's kind of one. It's like a negative. So essentially, it's a negative mindset. I just don't like people that have a negative mindset because it's draining. It's like the energy is just exhausting, you know? I want to be positive. I love life. Like, I celebrate the blessings. So that's number one. And some people mistake that too, though. I'll give you an example. I've actually recently encountered this. People would mistake that as perhaps being too, perhaps naive or like, you know, I used to be very nihilistic about life. I have a philosophy degree. I was like a realist, very nihilistic about things. And I'm like, I do this because I think there's a way to balance like being very practical about the reality of life, but also being like, hey, we can celebrate blessings, or if there's a problem, let's turn it into a solution. Or like, you know, yes, yeah, it sucked. Yeah, it's painful. Yeah, it hurt. Great. Well, what are we going to do about it? Right. And maybe that's because I'm the man and I'm more solution oriented. I try to celebrate and be grateful for where I'm at. And so if someone can't appreciate those things, I'm not naive though. I'll say it like it is, but I think that's an important quality. It's just like to be able to shift your mindset. Yeah. And that really to the second one, which is like communication. If they literally can't communicate about, I would say like the vulnerable stuff. So like, you know, a lot of people have a challenge communicating about sexual stuff, sexual health, you know, emotions, being vulnerable. And that, again, comes through time and experience. But I think that that's an important quality to be able to know how to approach communicating with someone and being like, hey, do you need me to listen right now? Do you want my feedback? Do you want me to hold space for you? Do you want me to like push you? Like, what would you like? Not push you physically, but like motivationally, you know?
Right.
So I think that's an important part. And I think that's something I personally have struggled with on my own side and something I've worked through to get better at. And now I value, especially in the early days, being able to have upfront candid conversations about whatever. It could be anxiety, could be things that are coming up for you. And if someone can receive that and communicate with you on that, I think that that's really important. So if they can't do either of those two things, and then again, the third thing is like, if I know right away, if they're not living a healthy And I don't mean when someone's like, oh yeah, I work out. And I'm like, they work out like once every month or something. I'm talking about like their daily life as a practice of, you don't need to work out, but just something, right? Like physical and mental for your own well-being. Okay, maybe the last one. Actually, yeah, this is an important one. I'm like, the list is appearing now, but I try not to have lists, honestly, but those are three fundamentals. But the fourth would be good social bonds, you know? Like, I think in the past, women that I've dated who didn't have a good social bond network, we struggled a lot with the attachment styles and just becoming their whole life world. And I think it's really important that people have a good network. If they don't have, I question out the gate if they don't have like good friends. Family's one thing. You can't always choose your family. And I get it. I've had my own challenges, but it's very clear to me if someone doesn't have a strong social network of friends. And I don't mean acquaintances. I mean, like, you can know, like, hey, I've been friends with this person for 5 years, 10 years, and, you know, I'm going out with them or doing stuff with them. So those are kind of my key tools.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're basically, you know, setting the preface for that high value woman, you know, and I always hear this like high value man, high value woman, but it's really about having a sense of identity, sense of self. You're talking about like communication is everything, right? I mean, you've got to have trust and respect. And like you said, holding space, being vulnerable is actually something that's a strength. Right. And it's been perceived 100%. For so long as a weakness. Oh, if you're vulnerable, if you tell each other your feelings, especially for a man, all right, the man was never able to, you know, break down at any point, right? Because he's supposed to be the strong one the whole time. That's not true. That's like, please, like, show your emotion, be able to have those moments. I'm not saying all the time, but have those moments and have that safe space, right?
Yeah, and I think as a man, though, like, you need to be able to know when to differentiate where you need to go to your bros and be like, okay, here, like, bring that stuff up with them, and or you hit the gym or you go box, whatever it is that you need to do to work on the stuff you need to work on. But I think there's an important element where, like, you need to be able to also communicate that maybe those things are coming up for you. You just don't need to give them the blast in the immediate moment. Sometimes maybe step back, that, oh, I got to go resolve this, but then share after that, like, hey, this is what was coming up for me. And I think actually this leads into, here's another one, actually, this is a good one, is they need to be able to be present. And you know what, after having a child and realizing the importance of presentness and, you know, spending time with your child. And what I mean is, there is no other moment in life, right? The true task, and I said this on the podcast, the true task of life is to celebrate the everyday mundane present moments. And that's like, are you dialed in when you're cooking food? Are you dialed in when you're with your son at the park or your daughter? Are you, and then that translates to a very practical sense when you're with your person, or like, are you dialed in when you're having sex? Are you mentally present and physically present? Are you dialed in when they're talking to you? Are you eating dinner together and not looking at your fucking phone? You're like, there's nowhere else to be, right? And so I think that if they can't do that, because I see a lot of people, and it's just how they're habituated, and it's our society, right? But it's like, if you can't, like, why are you looking at your phone when you're eating dinner with your friends? Like, why can't you just, or with your partner? Like, can't you just put your phone away and celebrate the moment that you're with this person? Like, and you know what I do? Honestly, I lay it out super clear right up at the gate. I'm like, look, I think, how did someone say it to me the other day? She said something and I said, listen, I was like, perfect. I was like, as long as when we're eating dinner, we don't look at our phones, or when we're having sex, and like, we don't bother our phones while we're in. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I was like, as long as, like, when I'm with you in your bed, or like, it's like, I'm going to bed or we're eating dinner, like, these are the two times that, like, I'm not going to look at my phone. And I would appreciate it if, like, you did the same, because I'm giving you my full 110% presentness. Every other time is game time. And we could talk about making adjustments where needed, but, like, that's how I operate. And so,
I mean, those are intimate times and times to actually build some connection, right? I'm laughing because something really came up for me that I'm going to share with everybody here. When I was 22 in a relationship, hot, amazing sex. But anyways, my boyfriend at the time answered his fucking phone, not on one occasion, multiple occasions, while in the act at like 2-3 in the morning. I mean, we were obviously young. So yeah. I was like, are you kidding right now?
Yeah.
So, you know, that was young and dumb and naive. And, of course, never would I allow that shit. But the next one was when you talked about, you know, at dinner, or you're at dinner with your friends. But how many times have I gone to restaurants and a couple is clearly on a date? I don't know, like, where they're at in the relationship, if it's very new or if it's, you know, it's multiple years. and they're just on their phone. They're not making eye contact. They're not speaking. They're both on their phones looking in their lap. And I'm like, would you just like Uber some food to the house or something? Like, this would save, I'm sure. Aren't you supposed to be social? Aren't you supposed to like talk to each other? How's your day? Like, what's going on? It's insane.
Yeah, or just celebrate the space. Like, you know, that's another thing. I think a lot of people get uncomfortable in celebrating the space. And I don't mean some awkward like meditation. I'm staring at you. Like, I just mean like celebrate the experience in space. And it's not meant to be deep either. Like, this is just meant to be pretty simple. It's like, enjoy the time you have with that person, because it could be the last fucking time. Like, not to be morbid, but like, here's the truth. Would you want to spend it with your hunchback, like typing to somebody or looking at Instagram? Who cares? Those people mean nothing to your life, you know? So it's like, I don't know. I just think that we miss out on a lot of really cool moments, and you could actually make things fun too, right? Like, there's tons of things you can do to spice up conversation in the moment too, if you felt like you ran out of topics. But yeah, I mean, it's just, that's a huge piece to me. And so I set that up. I call it out right up front, like when I'm trying to see someone.
So. No, it's important. I mean, it's your time, like you said, to be together. So whatever that looks like. But yeah, I think that's really crazy. Have you dated anybody that's single parents or people that want children? Are you open to having children in your next relationship? Or what does that look like for you?
Just trying to get to a relationship. I don't talk about children yet. Yeah, I mean, let's see. Yeah, I dated a couple single moms. My experience has been that they are really great people. And you know what? Kudos to all the single moms out there, because I can tell you. Also, kudos to the single dads. Single dads don't get a lot of, at least from what I see, I don't hear a lot of people bigging up single dads, and it's a fucking hard job. So all around, it's a hard job, and there's different challenges for each. But single moms, like, 9 out of 10 moms that I've spoken with, regardless of the circumstance or context, so I don't know the relationship, most of the dads have been MIA or they're losers. And to be honest with you, like, it's just so mind-boggling to me as a dad, and I place a premium on showing up for my son and making sure that, you know, he has what he needs. And I co-parent very well with my co-parent. We've built a good relationship because we've focused on wanting to do things differently. But I just hate hearing that shit when someone tells me the dad's not in the picture. I'm like, man, what a loser. So I just, even if it was your fault, even if you had a bad relationship with your ex, like, figure it out so that you can at the very least show up for your child, because they're counting on you. And the world needs good men to be able to show the future that, like, I'm not saying they don't need great moms. Of course they do. Women are amazing. But it's like, this is so important. And I'm like, a lot of these people are just missing out on the opportunity to change their life and show up for their kids. And so that pisses me off. So I've seen a lot of single moms with like no dads in the picture. And yeah, I mean, look, it was fun. And I think for me, there's something about a single mom that's definitely very attractive. It's like, because you can relate as a single parent, but there's some kind of like thing that single moms have, you know, it's like a sexy allure or something. I don't know what it is, but it just is what it is, you know. It's like, but I don't think it's for me. I'm not saying I would say no to it. Like, I'm always open to it, but I just, because I can regulate my time and relationship with my co-parent, and we have a really good open dialogue. We can adjust the schedule on the fly. It's really convenient for me to be able to be like, hey, you're entering my life and you don't have kids. So like, I can make adjustments, no problem. And we can really find alignment if needed. I'm not asking anyone to come into my life as like a stepmom or anything like that. So that's really convenient. But when you enter into like a partnership with another person who has kids, there's a little bit more complexity, I think. Mm-hmm. Now you have their schedule, you have your schedule. So yeah, I don't know. For me, it's not what I'm putting out to attract per se. And I have nothing against single moms either. Again, I've dated them. I just, perhaps it's not the best fit at this point, but who knows, right? Again, I'm not setting that up. I'm just,
I was just curious, like, kind of where you're at. And I asked this just because I'm in a different dynamic. Like, I'm not having any more children, and my daughter's a teenager, you know, I'm just in a different place at a newly dating person. And so, you know, all of these things arise, right? In some shape or form.
What about you though? Yeah. You're open to anyone?
I'll tell you, when I first started dating, I was like, I don't want anyone with kids. Like, I was also kind of in that same mind frame. Like, I don't want to be someone else's mom. I don't have that responsibility. Like, I'm an amazing mom. I have to say, it's probably the best thing I do in the world is being a mom. But I'm also a sole parent. I'm not a single parent. My daughter's father has not ever been in the picture. And it's hard as shit. It's like, I don't have to share. I don't have to whatever, deal with all that, you know. But now, obviously, I have a teenager. Look, I think I see it very differently now. It depends. If I date someone a little younger, A little older. I'm not going big older anymore, guys. Sorry.
What's the age bracket here? What are we looking at? What's the age bracket?
So the age bracket, I was used to be very flexible. Now I'll do 10 younger, which is like, yeah, I could do that. And maybe 5 older.
What's 10 younger?
Well, yesterday was my birthday. No, sorry. Sunday was my birthday. Okay. And I'm a big 4'7". So
37.
Okay, because I think it's still like a good age, unless he wants to biologically have children, then we kind of were shot.
I don't make the cut. I turned 36 on October 24th. Sorry.
Oh, you're so young. Yeah, but you don't want to date someone who's 47. I mean, that, you know, I don't know. You get to a certain age and you're like, age is a number, right? If you're, like you said, if you're healthy, your values align and whatever, and you think you're hot and sexy and all that good stuff, I guess, why not? Yeah. Give it a try. And the crazy thing is, I have all these young guys hitting me up on the app. And I'm like,
See, that's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, young, like, look, I know I'm 36. Like, I get it.
It's just crazy. I'm like 18, 24, 26.
I don't want to be your sugar mama.
That's not what I want. Sorry, dude. I mean, I don't want to teach you anything. I hope the guy that I'm dating knows what he's doing. And if not, he can have a little guidance, but I'm not going to be Mrs. Robinson.
They're just trying to maybe get a story for their friends, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, I hooked up with the old lady, dude.
Stacey's
mom's got it going on.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I'm so excited about your dating app because I think it's so needed. I think the video part is just genius because you really can get to know someone super fast. And I love that you also add the coaching in there. And I love your podcast. Like, I'm so excited to, you know, listen to more of them because I think, like you said, you're just like organic with it. You're having stories on there that people can relate to. And I think that's just kind of where people are really needing us, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like part of it is just like, it's this whole journey to like, it's going to sound so like mushy, you know, but it's like healing myself, you know, like I swear to God, it's like my own healing journey is like this extension of creating this app and like talking on the podcast. I love the podcast. It's not work for me. That's like just like fun. You know, it's like, and Elish is great. Like we have a good banter, a good dynamic. So yeah, I've just been a bit hiatus, but we're going to be picking it back up. You know, summer happens and
oh yeah, slow
how it is. Yeah, no, on the dating app, again, it's always slow. Nobody wants to use a dating app when there's not that many users. It's always how it is. And video is part of it. That's why we're building this whole thing, right? We're building this ecosystem of supporting coaching and personal dating brand and, you know, supporting the creation of video reels for people's dating profiles and giving them guidance. And I think that's just kind of showing a new culture that we can embark on of dating. And when we arrive in that culture where a lot more people are leveraging video to sell themselves in a dating app context, we will have a much better dating culture that's more authentic, more intentional, and better at assessing potential matches. I don't know about you, but like when I've been in the dating apps, I feel like I see people that I've seen there years ago. And it's like, are we just coincidentally in at the same time? Or like, have you been there the whole time? And I'm always just wondering, you know, like what is going on? Are we not good at like assessing? Probably not. So
I think a lot of it, guys keep their, like, no offense to all guys, right? But I do think quite a bit of guys have their profile up for a long time, even if they're, like, kind of dating somebody, because they want to keep their options open. And this is kind of some of the feedback that I've gotten. And I'm like, just take it down. And then if you want to, like, actively date again, change your pictures, change it up so that it doesn't look like I know you were on this dating app for 10 years. So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, yeah,
I feel like everybody probably does that. I'm just like, it just depends on who you are. Like my perspective is always like, if you're actively focused and you know what you want, then like, what's the point of just having that as an additional level of distraction? It's like too much mental energy. Like it's like chatting with, it's just exhausting. So I'm like, you know what, get rid of it and focus in, but only you know best, not you, but like whoever you are listening, right? You know what works for you. So,
yeah. Well, I love it. I can't wait to pop on your show, see what we can do. But tell me, okay. So, two more questions. Last one is, what was one of your favorite dates, and what was it?
Man, we're getting juicy, eh? Fuck. I wonder if you're listening to this podcast, you know, not you, but message. Honestly, I recently spent like 4 days in a row with someone. It was fuck. I've never done that. And it was amazing, just kind of really good natural connection. And so we just hung out for the last, not the last 4 days as in yesterday, but recently. And it was just like a one continuous date, basically. And yeah, it was cool. It was cool to just do that kind of thing and experience a bunch of different activities together. It's also like, I'm like, okay, hopefully this wasn't seasonal, but it's like basically, you know, it's the end of summer. So like getting in that last weekend of sun and stuff like that. So I would say that was honestly the best date I've been on in a really long time.
Because we have 4 days of activities. That sounds fun.
Not getting into the weeds of what those activities are, but yeah.
No, it's down and dirty.
No, I mean,
You're a gentleman.
No, yeah. But this is the important thing that, you know, and this is a lesson learned from both the podcast and from just dating. Like, I have my own personal boundaries, right? And like, I want to respect the person that I, because I've learned the hard way. Sometimes I say too much and I'm like, you know what? I want to keep that respect and privacy. And especially because I'm interested. So I'm like, fuck this. I don't want to ruin that. You know, like,
I respect that. I respect that. No, I love that. Well, I'm so happy that you had a 4-day date. I'm looking for one of those again. Mine was like 5 days, but this was years ago. And I was like, I was like, why am I going home? What is going on? That'd be too much fun.
Sometimes you got to just go with it. I think that's a good lesson too here is like, I think there's a level of, man, it's like, you got to have that awareness, you know, of like the flow, like what's the flow, right? And then, you know, we've had a bit of space since then and now we're just getting back into maybe more of a different day-to-day cadence, like of like based on work and life, right? But it's like, that's another important element of having awareness to know how to like when the time is to like be in that flow with someone, just like when you're creative or whatever, getting a flow state. And that was like the flow state. And so we like really maximize that experience and then let it kind of fizzle out and not forcing anything and just letting it naturally unfold. And I think that's an important piece that you learn from dating.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's a good point there. Okay. So where can people find your services if they want to have successful video reels for their dating apps and or follow you?
Yeah. I mean, I've been a little light on socials because that is exhausting these days, but they can find us on datewithus.com. It's pretty straightforward and Heartstring app in the App Store and Google Play. Check it out. And then you just search the same thing in Instagram, Heartstring app or Date With Us. You can find me, Lee Michael Bronco, but the only thing you're going to see on there is me from the podcast. So that's it. And yeah, a couple things too, right? Like coming up, like I said, we're launching that Hinge Profile Mastery. So I know we're going to get you on there for some image stuff. Yeah. So we're going to get that out the door. Another resource for daters and tools to, you know, step up their game, their personal branding and tell a better story. So looking forward to getting out the door.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the show today. And thanks for sharing your stories.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. You're welcome. We'll talk soon. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Come and hang out with me on Instagram at Celeste Moore Image. Let me know your thoughts on today's episode because I always love hearing from you all. You can find all the links and resources in the show notes of the episode on my website, celestemoore.com. Okay, that's all for now. I'll see you in the next episode. See you next time, friends.